Hi, friends. Good to be back with you again, newcomers and regular listeners. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Henrik Palmgren. This is Red Eyes Radio with headquarters in Northern Europe, Sweden, truly at this stage behind enemy lines. If you are new to the program, redeyescreations.com and redeyesradio.net is the websites. Find us and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google+. You can also catch the show the first hour on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and many other places that pick up our feed. You know, last year we were censored by iTunes and they stopped listing our show in their podcast directory, but you can still subscribe in iTunes using the link from our website. So just click to add it and subscribe, or you can copy the feed URL and simply add it manually in iTunes as well. We also offer memberships, redeyesmembers.com. Sign up and get full access to our extensive archives with a lot of different topics that show the true extent of this truth-seeking endeavor. The website and the radio show, we have truly let the answers to the questions we've asked lead the way. It's a meandering path and chaotic journey, almost desperate in its hunger for anything outside of the mainstream narrative, to be honest. But you know what? I'm proud to have documented my own journey and the journey of the people that are behind Red Eyes and the development of all of us. It also demonstrates a perfect example of how lost one can be growing up in a destroyed society, spiritually speaking, like Sweden, devoid of values, traditions, and heritage. It's a testament to the true damage of the left and the desperate young people that they have made. It's really no wonder that we desperately were seeking something of authenticity. Many turn to drugs and other meaningless things to fill their sad existence. We were forced, really, to go all over the world to eventually find that many of the answers we were seeking were just in our own backyard. But before we knew this, we had to seek the answers in some of the most metaphysical, esoteric, in some cases obscure, occult, and conspiratorial areas as well. So redeyesmembers.com is really the full document, if you will, of that journey. And that includes all our 1,000 plus shows that we've done, TV episodes, older webcasts, and of course, more recently, insight videos and other films. I know quite a few people that have not changed at all over time who they are. They largely have remained the same, something that I never understood, as I doubt most of these people have, you know, found themselves, who they are, and gotten answers to many of these larger questions, as this is a world that promotes nothing but confusion. So just as we were disillusioned with the world that we grew up in, we of course understand that it's the same thing today, even worse. So today's show will be addressed to our younger audience, the younger crowd out there, millennials and liberals as well, who are disillusioned, who are losing their faith in the system that is turning its back on them. We'll be reaching out to the younger people out there who might be trapped in the liberal straitjacket, or maybe waking up to the lies of the left, the social justice warrior nonsense, and the world of lies that they've grown up in. We do this because there's so many of you out there, and you might be looking at something else and instinctively know that there's something horribly wrong, but you might not be able to put your finger on it, or put your words to it just yet. Well, our guest with us to talk about the environment, both at schools but also universities and in the liberal sphere overall, is Jamie Liardi. He's the author of Revelation, A Return to Virtue. He holds a bachelor's degree in environmental humanities and theater arts from Stony Brook University and currently resides in the northeast of the United States. Well, stay with us for a much more interesting discussion up ahead and some suggestions as well for young people and other people who are turning away from the nonsense and seeking something authentic. Welcome, Jamie. Thank you so much for returning to the Red Eyes Network. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Henrik.
Well, you bet. You did a show with Lana a few months ago, and of course, we're kind of looking at following up to that a bit here today. And it's on the topic, really, of changing or changes, because so many things are changing very quickly. And I think our ability to adapt to those changes is key if we are going to survive both what's coming, but also what's already here to a certain extent. And, you know, people talk about change as something good, but I think generally people actually hate it. They hate to change. But before we talk more about that and kind of get into some of your story, if you will, how you've gone from one thing, you know, to another. For those that didn't catch the 314 show that you did yet, of course, they can go listen to that. But what do you think our audience should know about you here today?
Well, I'm 23 years old. I grew up in a suburban town, a very comfortable existence, a product of the baby boomers in America, in the northeast of the United States. And I just recently graduated from a university. And I'm thrown into this world just as every other millennial is, and trying to do their best to make a change in this world for the better. And just trying to follow the truth and see where it takes me. That's, I guess, just a general introduction.
Yeah, you know, millennials. I was watching another couple of videos yesterday, and it really feels, I think every generation is getting more and more disillusioned, to be honest, but it feels the millennials are even in a worse off, you know, place than I was. It was more probably, you know, the kind of the emo Generation X kind of just don't give a shit about anything. But the millennials are definitely in a different spot and a different situation. What I think it's encouraging, though, is that more millennials are kind of, you know, waking up to a lot of the BS. They're tired of the PC nonsense, and they don't seem to be as they're programmed in their own way, but they don't seem as willing to go along with it as some of the older generations was. I think there is some hope for the millennials, actually. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right, because we can either be the new Renaissance men, right? We can with all this access to information, we can either know the truth about all of these issues that it's confusing and, you know, it's hard and it's, you know, politically correct and you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You could learn the truth and get to the matter if you want to. And you can learn anything you want. You could read any book that you want on your iPhone. But instead, you have those of us trying to do that and trying to, as the whole world is seemingly crumbling as we speak, we're trying to get stronger and stronger, because we're awake to the delusion, to this materialistic, atheistical, cultural Marxist, degenerate insanity that we're in. So there's those of us who are actively trying to get stronger before things get worse and trying to make a change. But then the other half of us seem to be getting so much worse and in more steeped into that soup. You know, the taking picture of your sandwich and putting on your Instagram page and you know, liking all these, these bands that are, you know, pushed through the cultural Marxist machine, and listening to this music and watching these shows that is just programming you, and people are getting fatter and stupider and dumber and don't care about the way that they look, the way that they talk or anything. There's this huge divide of this mass decadence and this mass destruction of the human spirit, specifically the European spirit. And then the other side, there's this grand awakening in us, because we realize that it's a life or death scenario. And I mean, that's something we can talk about later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a whole lot of nothing out there, for sure. I mean, that's true. People are cynical, they're jaded. Most people don't give a crap anymore. Just as you say, that although there's more information available at the fingertips of people these days, they're disillusioned and they've turned away from it all. And so, you know, the question is what happened to that ability in us to try to not only change ourselves, but to better the world, to change things and to step in that direction of actually bringing in action. It feels like that's completely being, you know, gutted around it. I remember, you know, many years ago, I've heard in reference to America of the American dream, even, right? You could make it if you worked hard or whatever. These days, it's just, you know, these kids they've been told and programmed with the fact that it's like, well, that's turned into a nightmare now. There's nothing you can do. You can't change anything. And it's really sad to see that spirit has been, you know, dragged from these kids, you know?
Exactly. And that's what you're taught in these universities. I mean, obviously, you're taught this leftist wing, or this, quote, liberal wing, which, you know, to anybody who's listening who is liberal or self-identifies as that, or progressive or on the left, or it's not what you think it is. And stop trying to believe that it is what you think it is, because if you just open your eyes, you'll see that you're actually working towards your own destruction, and that the things that you want, like environmentalism and sustainability and minority rights and migrant rights and equality justice, these things are actually being destroyed on this side that you're championing. And there's no need to go into detail because you have all of these limitless resources. So to just call us names and to say that we're crazy or we're just emotional or we're neo-Nazis or racist or whatever, you know, childish thing, have the courage to look through the illusion. Have the courage. And that's all that is needed. Because if you just said, okay, you know, I want to, you know, I feel this way about a certain topic and it's very political and gets very emotional, let me learn the other side to it so I can educate myself, if not just to have a better argument. But we don't do that anymore. Our universities teach us, under the guise of critical thinking, they teach us to just be these programmed cultural Marxist degenerate parrots and these weak parrots. I mean, everything that we stand for, and I'm talking specifically to Europeans or European Americans, everything that we stand for has been commandeered. We have been fed poisons and we have been willingly gotten weak from these poisons. And it's up to us to see this, to accept it, and to realize that we've been screwed over, to realize that we've been poisoned, but we don't have to drink that anymore. We're not cattle. They tell us that we're cattle. I am telling you that we're not cattle. We are men. Look at our history. The reason why I'm so passionate about this, and the reason why Henrik keeps doing what he's doing endlessly, night and day, everything that he does is steeped in trying to awaken us and to give us strength. The reason why is because when you look at the severity of our situation, you realize that there is a war against us. Yep. There's a war against justice. There's a war against human nature, against nature in general. You know, so look past capitalism. You know, a lot of people on the left just say, oh, it's capitalism and it's these rich white people, you know, messing up the planet and they're exploiting black people. And look past that. Seriously, if you actually cared, you would understand that that's just an arm of this beast. If you actually cared, you would see that that's just another head of this Hydra. And that all of these things, the immigration, the environmentalism, factory farming, all of these things are just symptoms of this decadence, of this modern world. And if you had the courage, you would see the roots that it leads to.
Yes, well said. I mean, it's the counterculture we see as well. It's so contrived. I mean, there isn't really, well, there are, is actually a faction of real rebels that exist that's starting to rise up now. But I think this is, people have to think about the reason why the media is attacking people that are waking up to the kind of things that you mentioned. Those who don't follow suit in the politically correct agenda, to the cultural Marxist programming, and they're fighting ferociously. It doesn't matter what country you turn to, the established media and kind of the new, you know, lefty media that has sprung up really from the same intentions and from the same crowds, funded by the same sources, but it looks more independent or whatnot. You know, there's a reason that they're there, and to try to shut these people down, because a true rebel towards all this that we're talking about would see through this. They would see what's going on, and finally, that's actually beginning to happen. I feel more and more people are waking up to the kind of things that you're talking about, and they can see the bullshit, that it's not about equality. It's not about having, you know, justice. All these things are double standards. I mean, even the liberal, you know, political narrative. I mean, they were for freedom of speech and all these kinds of things. But the fact is, today they're the ones who are like imposing speech codes and even behavioral protocols and all these things that are working as a straitjacket on us. They don't represent freedom, justice, or equality. You know.
And here's the thing. You know, I'm talking right now to that college student who might be listening to this. If you hear this stuff and you say, oh, well, that's just hateful, that's just this, stop using their words. Do you want to live a weak life wearing a pastel shirt and skinny jeans and walking around just parroting all of these memes, all of this, you know, that race doesn't exist, that human nature, you know, is moldable, and, you know, spouting all of this nonsense without even investigating it for yourself? If you want to be a part of that, then fine. But why are you calling people like us names? Why are you using their language? You're using your slave master's language. You know, when people look into this, when people look into this illusion, right, they look past all of these symptoms of this Hydra, you know, these heads of the Hydra, the symptom of this decaying world, of this destructive, injustice, immoral, anti-nature existence that we're living in today in this modern world. If you were to examine that in every facet and try and understand, you would see that what you're saying, or what the so-called left says in these universities, and you know the actions that they do, and what they, the values, and the, you know, just the you know, having sex with whoever you want, and drinking, and doing drugs, and you know, not caring about anything, and just it's working against you, is what I'm saying. And that these things that you want, you know, wanting people to be a better, wanting kids to realize that they can do more than just go through the machine. Think more. Go past it. You know, it's about what we've been programmed. It's literally about everything that we've been programmed is almost false. And I tell you that very soberly, that these facts that we learned about history, historical figures, facts about government, our own bodies, everything has almost been flipped upside down. We're told that race doesn't exist, but we can actually feel it. We can touch it. We know that race exists. We've been told that all of these lies about our history. We've been told that, you know, slavery was this and the Holocaust this, and we're told that we're worthless, that all we are is just a skin color. I'm telling you that we're not. And if you just wake up to that, if you just realize that, it's not a logical battle. It's a battle of the heart. When you realize that, if you actually want to change this world, which I know most people feel that way, my age, I talk to people all mm-hmm. the time, and we're so hopeless because we're taught that we're powerless, and we're taught to hate ourselves if we're European. We're taught that we don't exist, that we have these special privileges. We're told that we're evil, that we inherently are anti-Semitic, and all this just garbage. But if you understand, if you feel that spirit that's in you that connects us all, you will realize that the things that were taught in, you know, New Age pacifism and Buddhism and all these things that we want on the left, which I wanted when I was on the left, or a liberal, and you know, using those terms, you can't get those in that mentality. You just can't, and it's impossible. And you're working against it. You're working against Black people. You're working against the Navajo Indians that you walked on a walk with. You're working against the factory farming system. Your energy is not being used correctly. And I just urge, I mean, I know it's changing, but this urgency that we have is out of a love, a deep love to see a world that we're proud of, to see a life that we're proud of. You know, I go down the street and in suburbia, and it's just disgusting architecture, just the most disgusting, decadent, you know, communistic, brutalist architecture, and it's depressing. And then you look at the people; the women don't even look like women. You know, the girls are just dressed like complete like whores.
Yep.
And the men don't even look like men. And when they do, they're listening to jungle music and wearing these backwards hats, and you know, have these giant trucks, and they think that means masculinity.
Yeah.
Wake up. We have to wake up. And I mean, Henrik, I mean, I know you see this.
Oh yeah.
And I'm telling you that you don't have to be afraid. I tell you this very confidently. You don't have to be afraid when you're looking at information. And I know that you will, when you're looking at information that's very sensitive, that obviously has these labels in this tyrannical system tied to it. Have the courage to think about it with an open mind. Have the courage to look at it and just with the notion of getting to the truth, that you want to do good because you know in your heart you want to do good. So speak clearly. Speak openly about your views. If you see injustice, if you see somebody completely lying, hey, European people, they don't exist. hey, you know, whatever, whatever it is, don't be afraid. That's the main thing is we have to at least talk. We have to speak about these things when we see them. Otherwise, we've lost it.
Well, you know, they do more of the same. They follow suit on the agenda without realizing that their actions and their words have been given to them, that they are, you know, pumping this out into the world, into other people, and yet they think that this is going to yield different results, that they're going to be able to change the world with this. I mean, I think that there is a reason that so many people, they feel empty, they feel that there's nothing there, they scoff if you mention, you know, traditions, if they even can actually conceptualize those things, if they even know what that is, that there's something there to preserve, that there's something sacred there, for example. Of course, unless, as you said, unless you're talking about if it's Native American traditions or some Mayan thing or something, then they're all for it, right? But it's the fact that they don't have anybody to look up to that came before us. They have nothing to look forward to even, and it's just resulted in debauchery and perversions and you know, leading down that road of emptiness, basically. So this is the very aspect of people having to realize that there is something there. It's just that they haven't been given the option to actually see what that is. They've never gotten real to the authentic thing, so to speak, that's there. Tell us a bit, how did you turn from, I guess, more from that side then, from being basically a liberal to going over to something which is more, well, in our times, it's more radical of being a traditionalist or primordial, whatever you want to call it.
I get that all the time, because if for those who know me and who've seen me on campus when I went to the university, I would always wear this vegan shirt that said all of these things of why it was good, basically nine noble virtues, but on a vegan shirt. All of these reasons why it's so good for everything, and I would wear that all the time, proud. But I would wear, you know, shorts and be barefoot and just hanging around on campus and talking to people and basically a hippie, you know, a stereotypical vegan kind of hippie on campus. Because I thought that's what we were going towards. I thought maybe if we fix what we eat, if we fix the fuel that we have in us, if we just fix that, then we'll get sober and we'll start to move in line. But the thing is that the veganism and the university, like I said, is all cased in this. It's a political ideology. It's a programming task force, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't even want to, if you're apolitical or you don't care, you're automatically in that mode because the circumstances of today, it's not a left wing, right wing, you know, who are we going to fight? It's just all dominated by, quote, liberalism, which is just cultural Marxism. And I urge you to look into that topic soberly, not, you know, with a preconceived notion. So I was doing that and I reached a point where I was looking at these old baby boomer professors that I had, and I noticed that they were bringing their politics into their classes. And I was just thinking that this side that I'm on isn't cool. The side that I'm on isn't doing anything. The side that I'm on is just going to marches, going to climate change rallies and going Black Lives Matter marches. And it's not doing anything. It's not invigorating me. It doesn't speak to me. You know, I always wondered why religion never spoke to me. I always wondered why science never spoke to me, because it's all atheistical. It's all just, it doesn't come from the heart. And that's what I saw from this, quote, liberalism. So I was feeling just lost. And, you know, I stumbled across this documentaries, and I stumbled across information. And I thought, well, that's racist, or that's anti-Semitic, and that's this, and that's. And then I said, wait a second, those aren't even my thoughts. I don't even know what those words mean. What the hell does an anti-Semite even mean? What's a Semite? You know, I don't even know what that is. So
it doesn't matter. Just, you know, anti-Semite, yeah, is all you need to know.
Exactly. That's all you need to know. So I realized that, you know, I literally was looking at this information on my computer and was guilty that I was looking at it. I was looking at the documentary called The Greatest Story Never Told, and I was guilty to even have that on my web, my computer screen, because I felt that, you know, I'm just trying to see the other side, but this feels wrong. It feels dirty. And then the net that I tried to sleep that night, I couldn't. And then the next day I said, you know, what the hell? That feels dirty. I'm just trying to find the truth. You know, why does it? So then that just fueled me more. So then I watched that documentary. I've seen other things. I started to listen to Red Ice. I went in the archives and was looking at things that I was familiar with, and then slowly branching out to other less comfortable sides. And I realized that I've been lied to, and I completely accepted the bait. And I was championing, you know, for these tyrannical masters that refer to us as cattle. I was acting as the cattle and whipping other cattle to get back in their cages instead of trying to liberate all of us, which is what I've always wanted to do. I mean, when I was 12, I was kayaking one time, and I had this just moment where I just was, I couldn't speak. And I was looking at the trees in the distance, and I just said to myself, I need to preserve this. And that's just all I thought about. And I realized what that symbolizes. That symbolizes beauty, and that symbolizes who we are. That symbolizes doing the right thing. And I always wanted to do that. I still do. I always want to preserve what I love and what I hold dear, and to have justice and truth and abide by nature's laws. But the fact that I was learning that the side that I was on completely stabbed me in the back, and that my so-called leaders, you know, science, psychology and anthropology and sociology and racial science and this university and these, they're basically all patsies that believe the same thing, and just like I was, the cattle whipping the other cattle back in the cage. And then I, you know, then you start to look at Hollywood, you start to realize who's behind that and what's behind that and what they push out, and the disgusting just degeneracy and the disgusting ways that they perturb and distort us and they distort who we are. And I thought, who are these people that would do that? I wouldn't do that to someone, not even my enemy. Destroy their culture and destroy who they are. Just want to wipe them out off the planet. Why would you want to do that to even your enemy? I couldn't understand it. And for the longest time, I suffered from this just huge depression, because I was battling with this old self, this old me, liberal me, who wants to be accepted, who wants to have a family and a nice degree and a nice car and a house, but somehow, you know, managed to get away from all of the materialism and suburbia and you know, credit cards and all that stuff, to live a normal life. But I was finding it that this battle, that there was an actual war waging, and that I had to heed the call of duty. And I realized that at that moment, that old me died. And I didn't know what to do. I was completely lost. I said, well, you know, should I eat meat now? I don't even know if that's, you know, the information that I was getting about, seriously, the information I was getting about food and, you know, the nature of veganism, and if that's even real. I was, you know, wondering, you know, if Christianity was, you know, is what they said they are. And everything was literally turned upside down. And I felt sober for the first time. And I'm telling you, it's given me the most strength, knowing that regardless of what happens to you, regardless of what you want to achieve, what you want to become, regardless of anything, if you're following the truth, if your heart is pure and you have that courage, I mean, nothing can stand in your way. And you know, to answer your question in a long way, I realized that I have to do my part in this. And I have to know that I'm on the right side. And I'm telling you in complete soberness that what they tell you on the left, what they tell you in the mainstream, what they tell you on TV and movies and music, and even the independent stuff and, You know, yes, the conservative stuff and everything that's mainstream is completely working against you. And they're manipulating you. I mean, do you sense this manipulation in my voice? Do you sense that I'm trying to make you believe anything? Or trying to just accept some religious doctrine, some dogmatic thinking? I'm telling you to branch out. And we are telling you to branch out. To look at these things for yourself and to actually critically think. And to just feel with your bones and feel with your soul. Because that spirit, when it zaps you, when it becomes a part of you, when it possesses your body, there's no going back. And
yeah.
I just urge everyone with that heart who actually wants to change something, regardless of what field it is, you have to wake up. And you, there's no money in this. There's no money in the truth because they have all the money. There's no honor in this because they'll demonize you. They'll call you names. They'll say these things. They'll, you know, disrupt your reputation. They'll probably fire you. There's everything in their material world that's working against you. But we don't want that. We don't need anything that they can give us. We have everything. We've always had everything. But we have to realize that we are who we say we are. We have to realize that we are that spirit. We have that spirit in us and that we can make the change if we feel it, if we're unified. We can do it. And it's easier than we think. And we have to just get past all of this notion of, oh, it's scary, it's this, it's anti-Semitic, it's racist, it's blah, blah, blah. Because it's not. It's not. It's not neo-Nazi, it's not racist, it's not all this stuff. It's not this. It's not hateful. It's the most loving act you can do is pursue the truth and do what is right. That's it.
Yeah, loving your own people, it's not about hating others, you know. So how would you suggest that people, you know, connect with that? Because people, they turn to different things all the time, and that's understandable, and I'm not complaining on that at all. I mean, God, look at the archives that we have in our shows that I've been doing since 2006, just going through, you know, all these different topics, searching, you know, literally all over the world, like being into, you know, the intricacies of Mayan mythology before I even like turned my own eyes to my own backyard and realized I had one of the most, you know, from my point of view, wonderful and rich mythological traditions right in my own backyard of Norse mythology and all the sagas and all the people. And that in itself demonstrate how far removed I was and how far removed an individual is that grows up in the Nordic countries, for example, how little we were taught even of our own traditions. I mean, we have mosques being built in Sweden right now, but we don't have a single temple dedicated to our own traditional gods and goddesses. And you know, when you kind of let that sink in a little bit, when you like, we have multiple religious buildings to a foreign invasive religion that comes from the Middle East, but a traditions that we've had for at least, you know, 10, maybe even longer, 10,000 years, at least 4,000 or 5,000 years, up till about 1,000 years ago, when the last temple was burnt, you know, in Uppsala. And when that dawns on you, you realize that, like, okay, we have been definitely severed from this. And so what happened to me, Jamie, is that I was into, you know, New Age topics. I was a vegan too for a few years. That didn't work out for me, unfortunately. It didn't work for my body type or something. I lost too much weight. I lost energy. And, make a long story short, I had to remove myself from that to be able to get back on track. But there's tons of these traps to fall into. And again, I'm not, you know, dissing any of that. I think that's a journey we all have to make on our own terms. And if we stick true to the truth, the path that we need to walk, we'll find it in due time. And I think it's more about us helping those people who are willing to do that journey, as opposed to scaring them off or immediately chasing them off with our own kind of slinging words on them for being idiots or not getting everything right at once. So yes, there is an urgency, but at the same time, we have to be, you know, accommodating and to a certain extent nice to those people as well, and let them know that they could be our potential allies in this instead of turning them immediately into enemies. But there's a long rant here, but basically my main question to you, and how you got into this, is how do you think people connect with that authenticity, that real kind of the line of truth, if you will?
Well, like I said, most of us have that pure heart. I mean, when I was a kid, all I wanted to do was change the world. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to be the hero in all the stories that I read. And I still want that. And for some reason, us millennials, we settle. We settle for this unheroic, demasculinized, just lame existence of, you know, parroting the establishment's memes and parroting their buzzwords and parroting their thoughts instead of actually thinking for yourself. And unless you realize you're in that soup, unless you're out of that indoctrination, it's hard to see this. And I've only seen it because I was out of it. I'm pretty sure of that. So the best thing to do is to just follow through with that. Just follow through with your heart. You know, when you look at the images of the apple plant in China with suicide nets, these poor Chinese people essentially being forced to work for these dumb little gadgets that just make us fatter, stupider, and I mean, that's insane. It's disgusting. But it's not capitalism. And that's where a lot of us stop. Oh, it's those evil capitalists. Okay. What else? Where else? What does that mean? You know, where does capitalism come from? What's the history behind it? Who benefits from capitalism? Nobody, we lack the courage to ask those questions. Who benefits? You know, who benefits from these things? Is it the Chinese people? Not really. Is it us? Not really. Who benefits from all these wars that we've been fighting that nobody ever wants to be in? Why are we in Iraq? Still, why are we in Afghanistan? I don't even know if we're in Iraq still, but why are we in the Middle East as the United States? Still, people don't even know that we're still in a war. I mean, that's the insanity of it. Oh, well, you know, it's for democracy. What the hell? Have you even looked? Do you even know what democracy is for to begin with? And secondly, do you even know what? You're literally just parroting what you've heard on TV or what you heard. I mean, it's that level. And it's not cool to be a part of that establishment that murders Palestinians. It's not cool to be a part of the establishment that just creates all of this pornography and just all of this disgusting stuff that destroys us, destroys our children, and messes with our psyche, messes with our natural hormones. The sickness of this, the sickness of the people who perpetuate these things, has to stop. But it's not going to stop just by pointing the finger at who's doing this. It's only going to stop when we realize that we have that power. So to get to this point, to become sober, you have to just follow through with that, what your heart is telling you. You know that going for your PhD in, cultural anthropology or, you know, whatever it is, do you actually care about those things? Why? Is it because it's comfortable? Because your parents tell you? You know, and you hear this a lot I used to say this before I was awakened, racially awakened. I used to say these things, but you don't follow through. Again, it's all through this cultural Marxist slant, this, you know, self-hating slant. So just understand that your heart is in the right place. For the most part, our hearts are in the right place, and I can't repeat that enough. So if you don't like materialism, if you don't like these things, then don't worship this PhD. Don't settle for these things that you know life is about, the immaterial, the metagenetic. It's about the spiritual rather than the physical. But these New Agers and whoever and me in the past always said these things, but our actions don't dictate otherwise because we're still in this comfortable, oh yeah, I love you. And none of it is real. And this isn't a hateful thing to say. I'm speaking in a natural sense. That the things that you love, the things that you hold dear, are only possible if you do if you do the right thing, if you look to the truth, if you have the courage to follow through with what you know is wrong innately. We know that this foundation that we're standing on is built on sand. But don't just cow away and because it's scary or it's racist or that history's already decided. Have the courage to ride that tiger, to ride that wave and be a man in those ruins and to get stronger despite all of these hits that we've been taking. That's where it starts. And it starts with that realization. It starts with just knowing that you want to do the right thing. And it's as simple as that.
Well, you know, this is kind of in a roundabout way what you're talking about when you're connecting, you know, also capitalism, but to the meaninglessness of what we have and how they've joined up with the left. You know, the is this third way politics when, you know, the left joined with the bankers, basically the those who push democracy to the rest of the world joined up with the military industrial complex. It's a way that the modern world offers us toys that we, that whatever we need, whatever toys we want, basically, so that we can be distracted while they target us to fulfill their genocidal agenda. And we are, within all that, we are isolated from each other. We are detached in a way that we've never been before. And we don't have that, you know, true sense of community with the people around us, and true sense of, you know, nationalism, whatever you want to call that on a larger scale. But we are so... we're so distracted with everything, and all of this is done for the control purposes, so that we will basically look the other way and temporarily be fulfilled and content with something that they can make money, you know, from us while they're doing. So it's a very difficult cycle, I think, for many people to break out of. Not people listening to this show necessarily. I'm talking about people out there, you know, in the world, just living their lives, being part of being sucked into this agenda, you know.
And I can't stress enough that you don't have to be sucked in. That we are literally creating an alternative, beautiful world as we speak. As this modern world is decaying, we are creating a truly just world. And a world that's based on the natural principles of nature. And just to, you know, it's, you know, it, the reason why I'm so frustrated at this and that I'm so passionate about this is because we settle for watching movies that are, you know, intense and there's a lot of drama and the characters, and we listen to this epic music while we're, you know, studying for an exam. But you look in the mirror and you're just a fat, skinny, chubby, pale, pimple-faced, lost creature. And you're pretending that you're in this world. You're pretending that you're a Viking. You're pretending that you're a warrior, but you have no idea what that even means. But I say these things in a loving way, because I'm telling you that you are that Viking. You are, there's a reason why you're attracted to those things, attracted to greatness, attracted to beauty, attracted to things that are not in this world. So realize that. Don't settle for just playing video games after your terrible day at work, of this job that just treats you like a cattle. Don't settle for that. You don't have to. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be in this establishment's world, to be follow the New World Order, globalism, whatever you want to call it. You don't have to do it. And we don't want to do it, but we're generally hopeless because we think that, oh, things are so bad. You turn on the TV, oh, there's more bad news. Oh, this is happening in Europe, and Europe's being invaded. Oh, this is that. Oh, I don't exist anyway, so it doesn't matter. Let me just have my little family and my little squatch at square in suburbia and mow my lawn every Sunday, and it's all fine. I'll just play the latest Call of Duty on my PlayStation. And obviously we don't think these consciously, but it's all subconscious because we're hopeless. Why? That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be hopeless. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be... look within. Drink from your own well. You know, there's a reason why we watch these movies. The reason why we go towards Buddhism and Native American spirituality, mm-hmm. and the yep. Mayan spirituality, and follow these calendars and associate with these symbols. And there's, you know, yoga and all that. Look in your own backyard. Look in the mirror. That's who you're looking for. And as lame as that sounds, it's exactly the truth.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, it's a difficult nut to crack, you know. But it's like we accept that level of of slavery or whatever you want to call it, or submission really, or just not doing anything against it, because it's comfortable ultimately. It's very comfortable. But the fact is, I think, Jamie, we're approaching a time where, whether we want to or not, we are going to be pushed out of that comfort zone. I mean, the gods know, many people already have in different ways. They've been pushed from the neighborhoods where they grew up. They might have been, you know, kicked out of their houses or foreclosures, or, you know, God knows what was happening to all the people out there, you know. But I think we're going to see more and more of that. And if we don't try to kind of get together, organize in that capacity where we can actually start doing something about this with people who actually know what's going on and what's happening, it's not going to bode well for us. And that uncomfortableness that I'm talking about is going to come sooner or later anyway. So it's about us realizing that and making that choice. In other words, it's really the duty to do what we know is right, as opposed to just doing what is comfortable for us.
And that's it. And that's the cult of this comfort, this comfortable cult that we're all in, that the baby boomers started, because they were the ones with the grocery stores and the Green Revolution and the Levittown and the suburbia and the car and just the man has to work and everything's just convenient and comfortable. And they got weak and soft and just unvirile, and we're the products of that. You know, Generation X, Generation the Millennials. And it's okay, you can either be weak and soft and just go and cow down and pass over and roll over like a cattle and gets, you know, stabbed in the head, and then you don't have to do that, though. And this is what I'm saying. And you know, we naturally want that greatness. I mean, we naturally gravitate towards those who are great. Why do people post quotes on their Facebook page of these brilliant men or these women that they emulate? Or why do we do anything? It's in us. This natural drive to do great things is in us. This natural drive to be strong is in us. This natural drive to sacrifice is in us. But we've been sedated by all of these gadgets and placated by all of these just decadent influences around us. The phone, the TV, and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And again, the left, we, you know, when I was indoctrinated and all that, I knew that and I felt that, but I didn't see the level of severity that it was. I didn't really realize the war that was waged against us, that it's okay if you just get comfortable and it's fine, and then, you know, then we'll kill you, you know, when you least expect it. And then we'll slaughter you when you least expect it. We're being milked. We're literally being milked for our money, for our energy, for our dedication. Why do you want to live that way? Why do you want to be spiritually dead? I'm not saying believe in Jesus and God and all this stuff that comes out of the Middle East, these Judaic cults. I'm saying go back. Go back to yourself. The New Age, we talk about it, the universe and all this stuff, and Hinduism talks about the Brahman, and go back, drink from your own well. Feel, read the old tales, read Beowulf, read all of these old things that are, you know, not so cool anymore, and just go out in nature. And it's easier than you think. And it will come. You know, that moment will come where you choose to either go with this globalist tyranny, this enslavement, this just cultural and spiritual destruction of all peoples on the planet, specifically Europeans, right now as we speak. Or you can choose to fight that. Choose to do your part, whatever that is. You might not know anything, but to adhere and say, I don't need your comforts. I don't need your titles. I don't need your money. I don't need your banks. I don't need, you know, a new car. I don't need your approval. All I need is the truth. And that is what they fear the most. They fear the righteous person, the truly beautiful group of people rising up as a unified body and not as individuals. That's what they fear the most. And that's the best thing that you could become. A strong man or woman, a family man or woman, somebody of high value and high courage, high moral character. That's the best thing that you could do right in this moment, to realize that you're a part of the tribe. You're a part of this beautiful tribe that goes through history and will go into just the coming millennia, and that we're all tied in this together, and that we're not these individuals that they say we are. We're a unified body.
Yeah, and we're so detached again from that. That concept is foreign to us today, specifically in the West, unfortunately. But you know, one thing I'm going to ask you about is that people are not only afraid of words, you know, either the words that they'll be called or the labels, what have you, and which is a sign of weakness, really, if any. But perhaps more difficult for a lot of people is the concept that they get iced out. They are, I mean, we hear from people who are, due to taking this stance and not abiding to the agenda, if you will, not abiding to the PC rhetoric protocols and everything else, there we hear from people that are losing their families, losing their friends. The intolerant climate that exists out there is unlike, I mean, anything I've seen before, and it's really ramping up as well. And it's almost like a purity thing that people are so fearful of being even just in the vicinity of someone who has been, you know, called one of these words, right? And they can't have the risk of being associated with that, or have some of that dirt to kind of rub off on them or something. And this climate is becoming, of course, increasingly hostile as well. They're not only turning on those people who won't abide by the protocols, but they're also kind of starting to eat away at each other. It's almost like the beast has gotten so, you know, hungry. It's starting to, like, you know, ultimately turn on it, eat of its own flesh, basically. That's what's happening. And I think it's a self-destruction mechanism ultimately. But nonetheless, within that, Jamie, it's very difficult for some people to experience that and to be iced out in that way, and to lose all their friends, and they don't know where to turn, and they don't have a true, you know, sense of community anymore, which is very, very difficult. What would you say to that, to those people who might have taken that step or even considering about doing that, and that this is one of the repercussions?
Is being alone so bad? I mean, that's what we have to ask ourselves. Is being alone so bad? Is being crazy in a completely insane world, I mean, is that bad? You know, it is, you know, if we understand that this establishment is completely psychotic and completely hostile to life, if we understand that, we feel that, because I know we do, why is it a bad thing to be labeled as an enemy of that system?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you want to be an enemy of that system, because it's disgusting and it's unjust and it's completely evil. So yes, you, of course you want to be an enemy to that. And you might be saying, oh, you know, that's violent. That's, no, it's not. It's not violent. It has to do with self-preservation and defense. That's what traditional warriors have always been, is those natural defensemen of what we hold dear. I used to literally think that if somebody came into my house, was raping my wife, killed my daughter, I would not defend myself, because it was, you know, it was evil. It was a bad thing to do.
Yeah, physical violence is the worst thing ever. Yeah.
And hate is a bad thing. Hey, guess what? You hate something because you love something even more. Okay? So if you say that, oh, you know, you can't hate anything, oh, but love nature. Look, you just contradicted yourself. Okay? You just said that you can't have hate, but hate's a natural human emotion. So what are you saying, that, you know, your natural emotions are bad? Your feelings are innately bad? And I don't mean these, you know, petty emotions and all this stuff, but not to rant so much, to go back to what you're saying, it's not bad to be alone. It's not bad to be called these things and feel like you're lost and depressed, because these are human emotions. These are real. This cult of the happy and all this just garbage. Like, we have to always be happy and always show, you know, blah, 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 blah. We don't. It's good to be passionate about something. It's good to want to change something. It's good to be upset, because that shows that you care about something so deeply. So it's okay to be alone. And if you're okay being alone. That's the first sign that you're confident. Once you become alone and you no longer need recognition from your old friends, my old friends lost most of them because they saw that I wasn't going with this politically correct, you know, white privilege, white guilt, you know, let me hate myself and love everyone else and all this just mumbo jumbo, all this nonsense without actually getting anything done. I've lost most of those friends. Family members have turned their back on me.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter. And you say, well, you don't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, that in itself, Jamie, is also a sign of how incredibly deep the conditioning and the mind control goes. I mean, it's relentless. They turn on their own blood. It's like a cult. I mean, people should study cults and see, like, you know, what kind of behavior goes on within there. Because that's ultimately what this is. It's a deeply, you know, mind controlled cult. That's what we're faced with here, you know?
And that's, yeah, it's, but you know, talking about the beast and talking about this, these slave masters who, we basically submitted to because we're stronger than them. Make no mistake. We are stronger than them. The only thing that they have is, you know, these false titles and, this power, this self-given power, which really they envy us. And when you study, you see this. You study that we're more than that. So to get out of that condition, to get out of that cult, the old you will die, and it will be painful because all of these beliefs, all of this, everything that has been that was right side up, has been flipped upside down, and now you're completely disoriented. You were drunk in the woods and you were having a good time, and now you're naked in the woods and you have nowhere where you are, and you're completely delusional. You're completely not delusional, but you're lost. But you're sober. You're sober for the first time in your 23 years of life. You're sober, or you might be 45 or whatever it is, but you're finally questioning things and not simply having a preconditioned response to things. All of a sudden, if I say, anything, you say, oh, well, that's interesting. You know, I want to know more, instead of having this feeling that, oh, now I can't talk to him because he's not pure. Look, he's a traitor. It's easier than you think, but just to get out of that cult mindset is difficult. But it's the most rewarding thing that you can do. And because nobody wants to be in this world. We know that. Nobody wants to drive this, you know, to work and do this, blah, 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 all this stuff. But to just go the extra step and to follow through when it gets hairy, when it gets, you know, when these buzzwords start to creep in, when you might feel unpure for looking at something on the internet like I was, it's fine. Because your heart is pure. Your intentions are pure. All you have is love and caring in your heart. And that's all you have, you don't have to fear saying your opinion or saying facts, because the facts speak for themselves. So that's all I have to say about that, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, a point I would add to that is that, you know, most people, they don't fear, you know, what a politician would think of them, or what a you know, person on TV would think of them, or anything like that. We only really care about those who are in our immediate surrounding. And we are, at the same time as we're sheep, we also are sheep dogs, and we discipline each other for not adhering to this, whatever the freaking protocol happened to be at the time. I mean, this could change into any fucking bizarre practice overnight, and people would still just follow suit and adhere to that. But what people need to ask themselves within that, I think, is that are these your true friends then anyway, if they simply don't accept you and if they're not tolerant towards you? I mean, that side always talks about how, you know, then people like us, we are the ones who are afraid, and we're the ones who are intolerant because we don't understand, you know, whatever we're opposed to or whatever. But it's the same goes for them. They don't take the time or the have the interest to try to understand a position. And I would not call those people friends anyway. And so getting to that point of where you're alone is a good first step. But it, of course, naturally doesn't mean it's the end of the line right there. I think that there are plenty of good people out there. And it's just a matter of us for, you know, connecting with them. And of course, that's one thing that we're starting to work on right here, right now, to try to build something a little bit more community-based and have some kind of network in place here. But that's a later story. It's a long thing to discuss that in itself. But my point is, it's a first good step to taking yourself out of that cult and consider the aspect that these people are not your true friends anyway, and that there is far better people out there that are, you know, ready and willing to not only accept you for who you are, but the fact that they are awakened as well and realize what actually is happening and are not brainwashed and mind controlled as all these people. You know, as a good man said once, it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And that's really what we got to keep in mind here.
Exactly. And, you know, just another thing that on the left or in university settings, people always talk about is, you know, you want to be yourself and to just embrace everyone for who they are, except if you're not a part of the system.
Exactly. Yeah. Diversity and be yourself and yeah, exactly. Free expression and blah, blah, blah. It's all nonsense. That's the thing. It's garbage.
You know, if you, yeah, it's a one-way tolerance. And it's a one-way system that, you know, and they say, oh, well, you know, it's in the past or it's old fashioned or it's outdated. Actually, all this information that, race doesn't exist, for example, that's actually outdated. That if you actually studied and actually cared about the subject, you'd realize that it's only been championed by this nut job, Franz Boas, and Ashley Montague and all these disciples of him. And it's a cult. It's very much a cult. And not even based on true anthropology or true science.
Well, it was done for political purposes to gain to win over one group, basically.
Exactly, and that's all. These things are ultimately political and have this political agenda, which always stems down to cultural Marxism, which aims to break down the culture of the West.
Absolutely. You're definitely right. We're going to take a break in a little bit, Jamie, and then just pick up in the second. There's many more things we want to get into and talk more about. There certainly isn't a lack of important things that connect with everything we've been talking about here so far. Why don't we just give out some of the details? I want you to give out some of the websites and also, of course, tell us about your book. You have, one book or have you written several? I know you have... A Return to Virtue. And I think you discussed that with Lana a little bit last time as well. Tell us where people can read more about the book and get a copy.
Yeah. So the book is called Revelation, A Return to Virtue, and it's available on my website, jamieliardi.com, as a, you know, a signed copy or, you know, ebook or, you know, PDF file and audiobook that I recorded. But it's also available on Amazon if you want, you know, for international shipping and if you just want to deal with that. But that book has largely been this discovery for truth, this grand revelation, and you can even call it a racial consciousness and a truly, genetic consciousness, a genetic unity, a universal unity. And it's a return to virtue. You're going back to who you are. And it talks about, basically, I call it a part memoir, part manifesto, because it's basically telling, I'm discovering all of these things, and I'm saying, I'm having these thoughts, and this depression and this confusing, you know, my world's been flipped upside down during the book, and it's told through this narrative, but also. The grander philosophy is in there, encased in that as well. And it, you know, various challenges, various life experiments that I've done to sort of test ideas and see if they actually work in the real world, you know, real science, doing sort of life experiments, life challenges to just find and orient myself in this world. So I would encourage anybody to check that out. People like yourself and I, Henrik, really it's and this is, I'm not a salesman, so this is probably a bad thing to say, but it's not really for us at all. It's written for the sort of 15 to 20 year old who just feels lost and feels that they like that they're standing on sand and that they want to do a good thing, but you know, they feel trapped and they feel like they're going to their own slaughter, but they don't even know that. They just feel uneasy. They feel like something bad is happening to them and to the world, and they feel powerless. That book is for them 100%. And it's been a, like, everything is carefully crafted in that, the title, every word is, you know, artfully chosen. It's something I'm proud of because I feel it does justice to that spirit that's in us, right? The spirit that I'm speaking is in that book, because I'm not really an author and I'm not really anything. For some reason, I just feel so impassioned by this spirit, doing the right thing, heeding this call of duty. So that's what the book is about in a bunch of words, not a few words. So that's on the website, amazon.com. And my YouTube channels are Jamie Lewis Liardi and Simply Vegan. Jamie Lewis Liardi is more of a metaphysical sort of theatrical sort of videos. And the Simply Vegan is more so, I haven't been on there quite recently, but that's more about diet and lifestyle. And we could talk about the cult of personality in the next segment. But that's mainly the reason why I've stopped doing YouTube videos. So if you want to hear about that, just stay tuned.
All right, very good. Website, once more, jamieliardi.com. And that's spelled J-A-Y-M-E, liardi.com. We'll have that up, linked up, of course. And also the book Revelation, A Return to Virtue. We'll have links to that. All right, well, Jamie, thank you so much for the first segment. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back with the second.
Look around you. Look down the bar from you at the faces that you see. Are you sure this is where you want to be? These are your friends, but are they real friends? Do they love you as much as me? Are you sure this is where you want to be? You seem in such a hurry to lead this kind of life, and you've caused so many pain and misery. But look around you, take a good look, just between you and me. Are you sure that this is where you want to be? Please don't let my tears persuade you. I had hoped I wouldn't cry, but lately teardrops seem a part of me. But look around you and take a good look at all the local used-to-be's. And are you sure that this is where you want to be?
Well, stay tuned if you want to hear more. We're going to continue with the second hour with Jamie Liardi as we continue at redicemembers.com. First hour, always free, sometimes both. We spare you from commercial interruptions, and we don't have ads on the website. So if you like what we do and want to hear more, please sign up. And of course, get access to over 1,000 radio shows and all of our video material. When we return, we speak more about the world of action, what we can do, and what kind of attitude that is necessary in these times, and how easy it is to get disillusioned. And of course, what to do not to be dragged down by that. Some good advice and also some inspiring words by Jamie, who's been kind of through this himself. Before we continue, let me also give you some of our upcoming guests: Dr. David Duke, Andrew Arnheimer, Tan Staffel, Colin Flaherty, and many more. Thank you so much for listening to the first hour. We'll talk to you right after the break. Second hour coming right up.